Morning. May it please the Court. Assistant United States Attorney Gregory Hanstead on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, United States of America. This appeal raises the issue whether the enhancement under Section 2L1.2B1A of the sentencing guidelines remains applicable when the qualifying prior conviction is vacated after the defendant's deportation. Because it is clear from the unambiguous language of the guideline that such a conviction still renders the defendant eligible for the enhancement under B1, this court should vacate the sentence imposed by the district court and remand the matter for resentencing. The text of the guideline has as its focus the temporal relationship between the deportation and the defendant's conviction. If the deportation follows upon the defendant's conviction, that's all that's necessary to subject that defendant to the enhancement under Section B1. Again, the plain language of the guideline provides if the defendant previously was deported after a conviction for a felony that is a crime of violence, the 16-level enhancement applies. Now, the Commission could have used other language. It could have chosen to say that the enhancement applies if the defendant is a convicted felon. It could have chosen to say that the enhancement applies if the defendant has a prior felony conviction, but it chose not to do so. It also could have included a limitation or excluded vacated sentences in its application notes, as did the Commission in several other places, most notably in the application notes to Section 2K2.1, the firearms guideline, and in Section 4A1.2, the criminal history guideline. Again, there's nowhere in the application notes that indicates that such a limitation applies to Section 2L1.2. In fact, the application notes to Section 2L1.2 indicate and further reaffirm the focus and the centrality of the temporal relationship between the deportation and the conviction. The application note in 1A sub 1, for example, provides that a defendant shall be considered to be deported after a conviction if the deportation was subsequent to the conviction. Again, nothing here indicates anything other than that temporal relationship between conviction and deportation is necessary in order to subject the defendant to the enhancement under 2L1.2. When language is plain and unambiguous, as it is in this guidelines provision, there's no reason for the court to look anywhere else to aid its interpretation of the provision, particularly where, as here, a plain application of the unambiguous language doesn't result in something that's clearly contrary to the intent of the Sentencing Commission. And I'd also like to note, Your Honors, that all of the cases cited by either of the parties in this case recognize and support the proposition that a prior conviction that has been vacated because of a violation of a state statutory requirement, such as was the case here, still triggers the Section B1 enhancement. Unless Your Honors have any questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
I just have one question. Should the enhancement apply to situations in which the defendant's sentence was vacated due to actual innocence or for some other non-technical reason?
The district court case from Massachusetts that the defendant relies upon was a case of actual innocence, and that's the only reported federal case in which a vacated conviction does not trigger the 2L1.2 enhancement. And the First Circuit in Luna Diaz recognized that applying the enhancement in such a case may raise due process questions. I would say that in the case of of actual innocence, it's fairly clear that the Section 2L1.2B1 enhancement should not apply. I think that's at one end of the spectrum. At the other end of the spectrum is a situation like this where the vacation is due solely to a technical violation. Constitutional violations, for example, I would think would fall somewhere in between those two extremes. And the Tenth Circuit in Cisneros Cabrera held that even a sentence or a conviction that was vacated on the basis of ineffective assistance of counsel still triggers the 2L1.2B1 enhancement. So I think that, although it's not before the court, if this were a case of actual innocence, that the enhancement would not apply.
So, your position is we don't really need to look to any other section for guidance because the language is so clear, at least in your view, but we have looked to section 4A1.2 for guidance. We've done that in the past in that U.S. versus Cordova case. And we looked at that section when interpreting a provision of 2L1.2. Why shouldn't we do that here?
That's true, Your Honor. And while the case wasn't cited in either of the briefs, this court in United States versus Gonzalez looked at the decision in which the Seventh Circuit looked to 4A1.2 and distinguished it on the basis that there was an issue of a guideline provision that was not defined in the application notes. Here we have an unambiguously phrased guideline provision, which is further reinforced in the application notes. Again, the application notes define deported after conviction as being any time that a deportation was subsequent to a conviction. Given the clarity not only in the guideline but also in the application note, there's no reason to look to any other chapter.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Ms. Joseph.
May it please the court, I'm Nancy Joseph and I represent Mr. Garcia Lopez. Our argument does not focus on the temporal relationship between the deportation and the conviction. That language is clear in the temporal relationship. I think the issue is presented differently, is what is the conviction for the purpose of the application of this enhancement? That is not addressed by the guideline. It is silent on it, and that's what the district court in Mejia found, that it's silent on what happened, as in this situation, when you have a conviction that would otherwise be appropriate for the enhancement, but that conviction has been vacated. So where it is silent, Your Honor, I ask the court to look at the structure of the guideline as well as the logic of the guideline. The court was discussing with the government that the court has looked at 4A1.2 in looking for definitions that are not defined. That happened, I think I cited in my brief in United States versus Cordova Barode, the Seventh Circuit looked for the definition of sentence of imprisonment that was not in defining the term of aggravated felony, which was not defined in 2L1.2. 4A1.2, for example, specifically and explicitly says that convictions that have been vacated or reversed are not counted. 2K2.1, the firearm application, cross-references that section, and 4B1.2 also does not count convictions that have been vacated or reversed. The logic, Your Honor, a parallel between 2L1.2 and those enhancements I just mentioned, I think, are the same. The purpose is to punish recidivism. That's why someone who comes before the court on a felon in possession of firearm case who has prior convictions for a crime of violence or drug convictions will get a higher base offense level. Someone who comes under career offender who is before the court on a crime of violence or drug trafficking offense and who has specific qualifying recidivist convictions will get a higher base offense level. And I believe we talk about, the government mentioned the intent of the commission. The intent here was someone who appears on illegal reentry who has specific prior convictions will be punished at a higher base offense level as in those other sentencing enhancements. So I think it's illogical to give the felon possession, the drug trafficking, a break on a base offense level where that conviction has been invalidated, vacated, and not have it applied here in an illegal reentry case. The second point I want to make is that, is what I've already stated, that these are sentencing factors. They are in the tradition or in the custom of the other sentencing guideline enhancement, we look at them at the time of sentencing and not at the time of conviction of the offense. So So those sections that I already mentioned, they would ordinarily get not be counted. But here in EB Building Entry, the government is asking that it be counted. Again, it's not consistent or logical with the other sentencing enhancements. I think the rule that I'm asking the court to adopt, that is not counting the vacated sentences, I don't believe would open a floodgate of cases where you would have a lot of defendants in illegal reentry cases vacating cases and come in asking that it be not counted. They're very limited under state law on who it would apply to. However, I think the language of the structure of the guidelines and logic of how other sentencing enhancements apply require this court to affirm the district court's decision here and not have a vacated conviction apply for this enhancement. I think the government's argument is, well, if the commission wanted to do that, they could have just say that. They could have said it does not count, it's not counting vacated sentences. Well, the commission did not say that. That is correct. But the commission also did not say we are going to count all convictions, regardless whether it's vacated or not, or on reverse. The commission was silent on it. The commission probably cannot envision all kinds of scenarios. It was silent, and in those situations, this court had looked at other sections of the guidelines for some guidance and for some precedence. If the court doesn't have any questions for me, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Joseph. Mr. Hanford has 2 minutes.
Ms. Joseph has mentioned the fact that, or seems to assume that there should be some sort of consistency between different guidelines sections. I think that the distinction here that's important is maybe not between characteristic of the, between sentencing factor and element of the offense, but perhaps the more meaningful distinction is between characteristic of the offense and characteristic of the offender. The commission has decided in Chapter 4 to assess characteristics of the offender as of the time of sentencing. At the same time, the commission has decided in Section 2L1.2 to assess offense characteristics, quite reasonably, at the time they exist when the offense is committed. Now, Section 2K1.2, it is true, doesn't do the same thing with respect to firearms offenses. But the commission is free to define offense characteristics as it wishes, and there's no reason to assume that there should be any similarity between the offense characteristics of different crimes. For example, 2K1.2 varies the offense level according to not only the type of prior convictions that you have, but also the number of prior convictions. That is, you get a higher offense level if you have 2 prior convictions for a drug trafficking offense or a crime of violence than you do if you only have 1. There's no similar variation in 2L1.2, depending on the number of crimes of violence that you have or the number of drug trafficking offenses that you have. If you have 1, you're subjected to the applicable enhancement. If you have 2, there's no further enhancement. 2K1.2 also incorporates the time limitations from Section 4A. There's no similar importation of those time restrictions with respect to prior convictions and the alien reentry offense. Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under